Hello, Virgo, and welcome to All of Us Here, your 2021 annual reading from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer for the next hour or so, here to give you a look ahead at the opportunities and the prevailing conditions and interesting odd bits of astrology that are showing up for you, at least in my point of view. Astrology, of course, is strictly the opinion of the astrologer, no matter which astrologer that might be, though I do my best to take both a wide and deep view and to keep things practical. So where the astrology of the Aquarian era manifests for you is in the house of work and well-being. This is some pretty darned big astrology. I think it will wind up being more significant in the end than all that happened in 2020, which I will review for you. 2020's astrology took place in another productive part of your chart. But let's focus on looking at the present moment and looking ahead for a bit, and then we can review some of what you learned and kind of what was made obvious in 2020 for you. So Virgo is the sixth sign, and there's a relationship between the sixth sign and the sixth house. Not exactly the same thing, but Virgo and the sixth house do have meaningful parallels and similar imagery and a resonance. And it turns out that when we count six signs from Virgo, which is how we count the sixth house, we wind up in Aquarius. And so in this unusual way, it's completely unique to all things Virgo and Virgo rising. So in this distinctive way for you, the sign Aquarius is like the Virgo concept to you. So when you express yourself through your sixth house, which is this Virgo thing of health and work and well-being and state of mind and the conditions around all these things, including the conditions in your workplace and what you're good at, it turns out that this is an Aquarian resonance. And Aquarius always involves more than one person. Aquarius is the sign of groups. It's interesting that that Virgo is a sign represented in tarot by the hermit who's standing up on a mountain with a lantern, signaling those in the distance, providing a light for those to be drawn to. And this is where you excel at doing this, that is to say, in the place where you work and where you serve. So the overall meta theme of the sixth house is service. What's interesting is that it starts with military service. So the sixth is actually the house of military service, which is where modern astrologers, in medieval times, everyone knew this, get the theme of service. And then we wind up with things like being a teacher and nursing and those kind of, handmaiden type of tasks. But it's actually a lot more assertive than this, to the point where when you look up which planets are associated with which house, called the joys of the houses, Mars is the planet that is naturally about house number six, not Virgo, house number six. And so there is a militancy would be too strong of a word, but there is a dimension of total commitment associated with the sixth house. And it sure would be nice if people express their sixth house this way. I suspect that you are one of those who does so or is inclined to do so, you know, and you do your best given the prevailing state of the world at any given time. So you have Aquarius on this house as part of the organic setup of Virgo. So you can take a solar chart, take all the planets out, and you place Virgo on the first house, and Libra on the second, and Scorpio on the third. That distinct pattern is highly descriptive of your sign without any planets. That's the important thing to remember. So it tells you the resonance quality of each house. So, for example, your money house is Libra. So there's a suggestion here that there's often likely to be some financial collaboration in a one-on-one partnership, that you do better when you get to have a financial partner, generally a domestic partner. Of course, this is not always available, and some people just don't do this, but that's just one example. Third house, about communication and writing for Virgo, the sign, is covered by Scorpio. And this is to say that your writing would, and your communications would have depth and passion and be willing to embrace taboo subjects. So if we follow this subject, so if we follow this around, associating houses and signs, we come up with Aquarius on the sixth. And this is saying that you need to work with people and you love to work with people, and that collaboration in some group setting, remember group being really three or more, is natural to you. And because of your get it done mentality, you can often end up being in charge. Like every committee needs a chairperson, and the chances are, if it's you, you decided to do it because you knew the job had to get done. So this is a natural tendency. And now we get to experience for the first time in, by my calculation, 615 years, having Jupiter and Saturn form a conjunction in Aquarius. That was probably before you were born. I know I have some older clients, but I don't think I have any who are quite that old. And so this is a new and unusual setup. It is unprecedented in living history. So no one's ever felt this before. And I have a long list of things that have been left out of astrology books, which is why I have to write my book on the solar houses. And one of the things I've never seen attributed to Virgo is your quality of chairmanship, your willingness to lead the committee or lead the group or be the team leader, because for whatever reason, the things that support it include your mind functioning in an integrative way. That is to say that you see life in terms of whole systems rather than fragmented parts. This is biophilia. There's another word for it, which is synergy. And both biophilia and synergy mean or strongly imply that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. This is holistic thinking. And so you are one of these people who understands the only way to get something done is to get a group together and get it done. Once one is past the late nights all alone, or banging out the manuscript, Then comes, you know, proofreading and publishing and all that stuff, right? So tasks are only solo tasks up to a point, and then we have to work together. And so you are the editor-in-chief of Cooperation normally, and now with this sixth house Aquarius fully activated by Jupiter and Saturn, you are going into taskmaster mode, coordination mode, notably at a time when the world is falling apart. The world is falling apart for a lot of reasons, including the too total, disorienting imposition of digital technology on people. And people have basically lost their minds and their ability to think rationally as a result of this. You are likely to be one of the lesser affected people because you have such a natural affinity for technology, even if you don't necessarily like it that much or if you have a tense relationship with it. You are good at learning it. And right now, that is right at the center of everything. And one of the ways to inoculate yourself against going into digital madness is that you have the capacity to use technology in a creative way. And when we use technology in a creative way, that means not falling asleep while doing so. So your goal, among other things, in this is to stay awake and to continue to bring actual thought, creativity, curiosity, and interest to your technical environment, but that overlays very closely with your work environment because Aquarius is one of the two most important signs related to digital technology, the other being Aries, and it is in your sixth house. Now, this does not strictly relate to only things that happen online. Obviously, Aquarius was part of part of the story of Virgo and its affinity for service and getting things done for a long time. However, there's a kind of a flourishing or maturing of this whole idea and the need to express it. And one of the things that I would propose is that as part of your leadership skills and ability that you meet as many of the people that you work with as possible. I know this is starting to sound like having an underground revolutionary meeting in Nazi-occupied Paris. However, it is very important that the people meet one another in flesh and not be afraid to do so. And this is partly a matter of affirming humanity, and it's partly a matter of affirming trust. So all that said, it looks to me like you've got some pretty big assignments on your hands and like you need to be fully responsive to your coordinating role, to your role as the mind, and this is so important, the mind that has the ability to integrate the many facets of something into one. And that includes organizing the many facets of people into one set of goals. So you become the keeper of the goal in many ways. You become the person who continuously guides the group, whatever group of colleagues you're working with, into a kind of a unified theory. And to do this, it helps immensely if you are aware of human distinction, like between between people, remembering like everyone is unique, everyone has a unique set of skills, and you have the ability to notice who has what skills, and then to bring those skills out and to make sure that there's an organized approach two things. Now, as I said, big planets are here, Jupiter and Saturn. Jupiter is going to make its way across in 5 months. It'll jump into your seventh house, Pisces. I'm going to come to that in a second. That's an exciting development in your relationship life. Saturn's going to be around till March 2023, so that's a while, right? That's well over 2 years from now when it makes its, I think, one and only ingress into Pisces. A big turning point for you then in the spring of 2023 for many reasons, one of which is that Pluto enters Aquarius. And here's where we get some information about the long-term importance of your understanding your role as someone, first of all, born under one of the very few human signs. The zodiac tends to be made up of animals, you know, ram and fish and bull and centaur, you know, part horse and part dude. So Sagittarius is like half human, half animal. But the human signs include Gemini, Virgo. Gemini is a couple of kids. Virgo is a human. Aquarius is a goddess or a human, depending on how you look at it. And your role as holder of one of the human signs is to preserve the humanity of the world despite this very rapid technological and technocratic onslaught that is happening. The alignment of Virgo with the six being Aquarius and the six being the house of service that has this military history is rather significant right now because of the militaristic way in which technology is being used. It is being weaponized. It is being deployed as a weapon. If you look at what's going on in China, where there are surveillance cameras everywhere and people have social credit ratings, they're graded, and you can look people up and find out who they are and find out if they jaywalked. It's crazy. And even the actual origins of 5G technology having come from a millimeter wave weapon system. So now communication technology is based on a military technology. Of course, the whole internet is that as well. The internet comes from DARPANET. However, the moves that are being made now are so aggressive that it would take a military strategist to see them. And that is what you are. And yet, you are a military strategist for the people. Whatever your role may be, however high up in the tech world you may be, if I'm talking to one of the vice presidents or board members of Amazon or Facebook, I never know who I'm talking to, I would remind you that your particular purpose of relating to technology is to make sure that as much as it possibly can, it gets used in a way that facilitates humanity and healing rather than destroying humanity and destroying people's capacity to heal and to relate to one another. And there is a lot of work to be done, whatever that work may be, but the underlying ethic of the work, the underlying guidance, the purpose that exists beneath the stated purpose for you, and this is where your special form of leadership comes in, is to make sure that on your watch, that all of this seemingly cool stuff is never used against people. And this is going to have to start with you and your relationship to your household and your family and what is happening, and doing your part to resist the medical tyranny that is taking over. I mean, it's one thing for the planet to be addressing the health situation, which it claims to be doing. It's another thing entirely to claim to be addressing the health situation and then imposing tyranny on people. And the thing about Aquarius is that it goes both ways. There is that humanitarian angle of Aquarius, as we in the modern age have kind of assigned it to Aquarius and defined it. But there's also this thing where the patterns of Aquarius form and everything goes into lockstep. And then it becomes very difficult, indeed, for most people in most companies, impossible to change their ways. And so you get to be the light bulb on in the middle of all this, shining the way through the darkness. You must be the one who serves to protect people, and that means everyone, but it has to start with yourself and then your immediate family, your immediate group of colleagues around you, and then maybe a little bit wider, to protect people from this creeping tide of people having absolutely no privacy and no rights. So you are in the role of a guardian. And this is a serious role to be in now, because there aren't so many of them. You have a lot of people who are fooled. You have a lot of people who really believe that all of this, whatever, is just a wonderful thing. It's just so good. And isn't it wonderful that we'll have self-driving cars and all of this stuff? And, deep down, you are more the squish your toes in the mud kind of a person. And when it comes to doing something interesting and creative, I reckon you would much rather do it with physical paints and clay and rocks and wood than you would with pixels. Let's review that a little bit, because Jupiter and Saturn have just spent a lot of time in Capricorn, your fifth house, the house before the sixth house. And the fifth and sixth work together. The line between the fifth and sixth is my personal favorite cusp in astrology, because it's the line between house number five, which is driven by curiosity, creativity, and passion, and the need to do something different and maybe a little bit risky. And inherently, you have Capricorn. All things Virgo have Capricorn on this fifth place, counting five signs, the Earth to Earth resonance. And what that does is it can lead you to be averse to risk, averse to curiosity, and also leaning toward that which is established rather than changing, challenging, or questioning that which is established. And so for about 12 years, since 2008, now 13 years, you've had Pluto making its way through this house. And this has largely had the effect of setting you free from something that had previously contained you and hemmed you in, or something that had previously been subjected to the expectations of adults and what it means to be an adult. Right, this whole concept of becoming an adult is not really so much about becoming a mature person capable of making your choices and allocating your time and other resources the way that you want, as much as it is about having curiosity and creativity crushed. And so Pluto burning through this house, fifth house Capricorn, for the past 13 years, has reinvigorated your passion. It's reinvigorated your need for curiosity and your need to find a way to express yourself that is not so stilted and in the grip of all of these expectations associated with Capricorn. Pluto has pretty well gone through that and demolished it and perhaps left you wondering what exactly to do. But then, starting in late 17, Saturn entered Capricorn, And that has had two possible main possible outcomes. One is a cleanup of all the damage, a clearing space for yourself and not necessarily knowing what to do with that space, but getting a lot of old crap out of the way, getting a lot of old karma out of the way, getting rid of the debris left behind by the Pluto transit that's gone on since right before Obama was elected. So that's a long time ago, more than 12 years ago. The other thing is that it can be a bit depressive to have Saturn in the fifth. Saturn in the fifth can act like a kind of a weight on your fun. It can have the feeling of the wet blanket on a cold night, which you don't need. And so there has been a lot of stress the past couple of years as you have tried to get out from underneath whatever this pressure has been. And now, fortunately, that is over. And Saturn has moved on into Aquarius, another one of the signs it rules, only it's much, much happier in Aquarius. And Jupiter spent a year in its sign of either detriment or fall. I forget which it is. So it's a little itchy and scratchy in Capricorn. And this has all had this mixed effect of making anything involving your self-exploration, self-creation, curiosity, and expressing any creative passions you might have to be both frustrating but also increasing a level of urgency around them. So both have been going on at the same time. And one of the things I suggest you do is that you consciously tap into your known creative gifts and that you be bold about finding out what other talents that you may have for a whole bunch of reasons. But one of the reasons is that you need to continue to be inspired at all times. And you also need to be genuinely creative in the way that you manage your situation and manage people. And so a lot of this comes down to being in contact with the kid who likes to do things for the sake of doing them, which had a way of annoying and irritating the adults around you. But there's been a lot of rejuvenation of this fifth house of yours. A lot of energy has been released, and I dare to say that a lot of moralistic tendencies that you may have had have also been subjected to real tests and scrutiny, and ultimately there is no need to be moralistic. To be moralistic is just about shutting people down and shutting down their fun and their passion and their curiosity. And it's very likely that there was some of this around you, that people kind of came on to you, adults when you were a child came on to you with a lot of responsibility-oriented stuff, and that you were way ahead of your years in terms of the requirements made on you and the commitments that you were expected to fulfill. And if you haven't done it in the past few years, take over that part. Take over the role of the adult who is speaking to the curious, loving, passionate child that you are inside, and just make sure that you give them room to play. The fifth house is more than anything about pleasure and play in the style of young people. So it's like, for young people, play is work. Play is a serious thing, right? It's the demeanor of young people playing is not necessarily all like ebullience and joy, but rather like, you're going to pretend to be building a Lego city, that's an important undertaking. You want to make sure that city is as good of a Lego city as you can make it, and that is more of your approach. But skip the moralism part. Skip the part where people told you, and it was always came from the outside. It always came through your family line that there are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong, and there's very few people who actually support the creative gifts of their children. A long time ago, I knew a guy named Carlos who was a bass player, and unlike most parents who would be extremely discouraging of their child being a professional bass player, this kid's parents drove him to gigs and you know, were entirely supportive of his career pursuit. And I've always remembered him, and I've always thought that it's sad that more parents are not like this, that more parents don't encourage and give their children space to grow. And if you're a parent, please do this for your children. And now that you're an adult, you get to make sure that you can be retaught and reparented and encouraged to have fun every single day. Back in a minute. Before I move on to matters of personal relationships, about which there is a lot of interesting news in your chart, I want to just follow up on two points from the first segment. I talked about Pluto going through Capricorn as a way of liberating you from oppressive patterns of upbringing and learning how to have fun. And one of the that's coming from Capricorn in the fifth house under these tremendous transits, first of Pluto for many years, still ongoing, still a couple of years left to that, and then more recently Jupiter and Saturn. And this Capricorn placement in the fifth is indicative of a kind of a purity or orthodoxy that is often associated with Virgo, right? Virgo the Virgin, but like, where is that really coming from? Like, what is that quality? And I think of it being less about purity and more about orthodoxy, about the need to do things the way that they were done, the need to do things the right way, and the need to adhere to traditions. And most social and cultural traditions are not very supporting of people being free and independent and curious. And in fact, it seems the whole purpose of civilization is to, in the name of, you know, maintaining order and getting things done, building skyscrapers and so forth, to prevent people from being too curious or passionate or creative about anything. Part of where this comes from as indicated in your solar chart, is you're a Taurus on the ninth house. And there's a very important transit going on here, one that you can really use to your advantage if we can figure out what it is. In the past few years of interpreting this, I have been working to get an understanding of what this is about, and you may recall some of those discussions from previous readings. The ninth house is about one's spirituality, and it's the way that one expresses the style of one's religious impulse. So the religious impulse, that is to say, the need to have the big questions answered, the need to ask the big questions, the need to have a relationship with something greater than yourself. In your solar chart, or if you're Virgo rising, and your whole sign chart is covered by Taurus. And Taurus is wrapped up in its own concept of orthodoxy, its own concept of right and wrong, its idea of etiquette, its idea of the proper way things are done, often adhering to the theoretical way things are supposed to be done, rather than having a more complete understanding of actually how things end up happening in the world. And this also can describe a traditional upbringing where religion is concerned, or if not overt, like, you know, maybe your family was Reformed Jews, maybe you were Catholics who didn't go to church, whatever. The residue of all of this orthodoxy that has come down through and false kind of piety that have come down through generation after generation and really have had a way of making an impression on people. So you've got this inherently, but now the thing that's come along is Uranus, which is here to set you free from that. So you have an outer planet transit, which is rare to any sign and house. You know, normally they happen once in a lifetime. In case of Chiron, once in a lifetime, and then you have like a 50-50 chance of it happening twice in a lifetime. Everything else is once in a lifetime, or it never happens, so once or less. And so you're having these once in a lifetime or less transits going through your ninth house right now, which is Uranus, which is an awakening, a call to awakening, and something that is here to shake you loose from your previous belief structures, whatever those belief structures were about. So one of the things about having Taurus on the ninth house is the challenge of fixed belief structures. And that often lends itself to an academic approach to certain things. You know, the belief that a political system is going to function exactly like it says it will in the books, or that it will if you personally adhere to it, and all that stuff. And you know, what life teaches us is that there's no force of nature stronger than human nature, and that people tend to do the things they do regardless of the theory about what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to act and all. And it is difficult to get out of this. For as much as Virgo is a mutable sign, that is to say that for as much as Virgo has the ability to mutate and adapt and change, there are a couple of things that are rather fixed, and one of them is this orthodox religious angle. And now comes Uranus, the sign of the revolutionary. And so what Uranus can do here is motivate you highly to rebel against anything that seems too orthodox, to throw off tradition, to go completely the other direction. There are a few planets more radical than Uranus. And while radical really means to get to the roots of something, anyone who's ever known a person who was a radical knows that they can be a radical leftist one day and then a radical conservative the next. That one of the things about radical is its tendency to change viewpoints and adopt the new viewpoint as if it was always the viewpoint, and the previous viewpoint did not even exist previously. I would caution you against this. You are seeking freedom. You are seeking relief from the oppression of what others did to you. But you want to make sure that you're, you know, if you're going to overthrow the church, make sure that you preserve the nice building and turn it into something like a dance hall, or, you know, a resort hotel, whatever it might be, condominiums, and not destroy everything and not lose contact with the true roots of your personal actual beliefs and faith rather than what was imposed on you. So one of the functions of Uranus going through this house can be to peel back the layers and make sure that you're actually living for yourself, your beliefs for yourself. And it's very difficult to tell in this world when that is happening, because first of all, the distinction is rarely made. People are not encouraged to be free thinkers. So it is possible for you to be a free thinker. You're certainly being driven in that direction and wanting to have your own worldview. And I would suggest, though, being on the lookout for the ways in which you're contradicting yourself and for any potential hypocrisies that might be there. The second thing I wanted to just add in clarification was that with Jupiter and Saturn going through your sixth house, it is essential that you have as your primary focus your own health and well-being. The work in many ways is going to take care of itself. The work is just self-perpetuating in a way. The work is not something that you have to go and find in some way, but the well-being element of the sixth house is something that you have to cultivate and that you have to constantly lay the groundwork for, that you attend to at all times with a devotion that is easy to forget in this world where there always seems like there's more to do, or it seems like no matter what, we're always living on a farm where there are 10 more tasks to take care of. And one of the things that's crucial that you do when you are in any collective leadership position is that you make sure that as part of the ethic of the work itself is the time to rest and repair, and that you set an example for that a few different ways. For example, by making sure that you are covered and that you are able to get time to rest and repair and recuperate, and that others get to do the same thing. And so we are living in a time where there's quite a bit of burnout. There was quite a bit of burnout before all this COVID stuff happened, and before the stress rate went up to double, and before a lot of people who have not been able to think this situation through are simply worried all the time. And I would remind you of the holistic principle that wellness is about your whole life. It's not about one specific thing that you do. And that sickness is about your whole life. It's not about one particle. It's not about any one factor. Health is not about any one response to one particle. There is a capacity you have with Aquarius in the sixth to be somewhat brainwashed by the prevailing concept of what is supposed to be healthy and what is supposed to be not. And this has gone completely off the same deep end as diet fads and the new supplement that will make us immortal, right? That's always the thing, right? It's always the new supplement that will make people immortal. That's the American way of health, or the new drug that will completely solve all one's life problems and make life perfect, right? And so there's a lot of brainwashing here. And I would suggest that you stay very close to the holistic principle, that you read about the holistic principle, that you look at some of the better books on wellness and taking care of oneself. There's a new book by Thomas Cowan. I believe it's called the Infectious Myth, which debunks the idea that it is virion particles that make people sick, but rather when people are well, their wellness is the result of a condition of life and a condition of their environment. And this is getting crushed. I mean, this concept is getting crushed. And one of your inherent responsibilities as someone born under the sign Virgo is to make sure that you are working with the holistic principle, which is the whole is contained in the parts contain the whole, and the biophilia concept or the synergistic concept of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And this is something you can apply. It's a paradigm you can apply to any aspect of life, that you can run every question past the holistic principle. You can think of everything in terms of its greater gestalt, and you can think of everything in terms of what is the integration function here? How do we integrate this in? How do we work to honor the whole at all times, even when we are taking care of one of the parts? I mean, one of the ways I think it's practical to do that is when solving a small problem, look for all of the related problems in the territory in which you are working. If you see a problem manifest, rather than thinking of it as being a potentially limited thing, quickly go to the systemic level and ask yourself how you would repair this, how you would kind of write this out of the script in some way on a level closer to the root, so that you're not having to constantly solve many small problems. You may find that you can just solve one larger problem, and it's not that much harder than solving one small problem. And then you make a bunch of smaller problems go away. They become obviated by the fact that you are working on a different level. And so one of the things you want to do in this integrative kind of leadership that you're going to be adopting, which I would imagine is genuinely a form of leadership for a new age. It's very important to be thinking in terms of what actually is meant by a new age, and what do we need to do to adopt new kinds of leadership then, other than capital-driven, top-down leadership. What is the way to have a more circular leadership style? What's the way to have a more collective leadership style? Remembering there's a lot of human programming that anyone thinking in these terms has to confront and address. It is not easy to get people to change their ways at all. And so one of the things you need to be someone who does is someone who is able to change your ways. And fortunately, you have the transits that are helping you do that. The placements of your fixed houses is a very productive placement of fixed houses. Those are the ones that talk about being stuck in one's ways. And then come these magnificent transits, whether we're talking Jupiter or Saturn or Uranus or something else, that allows you to embrace the concept of change and really make it something that works for you and that works for everyone. All right, let's consider some of the personal relationship angles of your chart. Usually, personal relationships, we've talked about the sixth and work-related relationships, right? There's been I've devoted much of the reading so far to activities in the sixth. That, by the way, is where collegial and work-related relationships begin, where they happen. But when we talk about intimate relationships, we're really talking about houses 7 and 8. The one opposite your first house, if you're Virgo, then Pisces is opposite. And then the second from the seventh, which is the eighth, which is Aries. And these are two signs that are themselves under outer planet transits. They're under life-altering, life-changing transits that might be happening so slowly that you might not even recognize that they're happening, because the process is so slow. So there are... Let's cover the eighth first, because the eighth describes one of my very favorite features in all of sun sign astrology, which is the placement of Aries on the eighth house for Virgo. The eighth is the house where relationships are consummated, whether by sex, by contract, by marriage, by inheritance, or some such thing as that. So the eighth house By far, one of the most interesting houses, and also one of the ones that is overly dominant in the world that we live in, is described in the first book ever written in English, which turns out to be the first modern astrology text, as the House of Death, Dowry, and the Substance of the Bride. So this is where we get the all the facets of the eighth house. It's where we get the death bit, the inheritance bit, the wills and trusts bit, the contractual relationships, the transfer of wealth, the investment in people, and it's where we get the sex part, because the marriage factor is essentially selling or in some way contractually trading the woman's body as a commodity. And it's crazy how little progress has been made on this. Though I believe that some has been made. We really are in a world of two steps forward and one step back, or like four steps forward and three steps back. And so here's how this looks in your chart. To have Aries on the eighth house is about investing yourself totally in the situations that you're in. So it's about finding yourself through this process of deep bonding. Then you decide that you're confined in that process of deep bonding, and you've got to continue somehow being going back to being yourself outside of that experience of deep bonding. So there's a cycle that can happen, and I get that some people do maintain relationships over long years. In this world, most do not. Most people have multiple spouses over time, and a fairly good number of boyfriends and or girlfriends, and so there's a cycle there for you, which is you lose yourself to find yourself, and it works to a point. I mean, it's certainly evocative, right? You can experience a kind of a deep bonding, and then you find out who you are in the process of that deep bonding, and then that who you are exceeds the limits that the relationship might place on who you can be, which many relationships do. Almost all of them in some way require people to be limited in some way, which is quite frustrating, and then leading further to instability in relationships, and this has not been easy for you lately. But there's a whole new there's a whole new factor in town, which is Chiron moving through the eighth house, and this is calling on you to exist in your intimate personal partnerships in a highly conscious way, and to never fully abandon self-possession, to set a limit on the extent to which you surrender your whole identity to the to a relational agreement of some kind. So what Chiron is saying is, not so much hold back, but to be fully cognizant of the nature of the loss of self in relationship. I mean, it is a very interesting position that describes this thing called civil death, which is how, Mrs. Jane Doe becomes Miss Jane Doe becomes Mrs. John Smith, right? And there may still be some people who do this. I don't know where they are. Maybe they're in Saudi Arabia, or maybe they're like in Bridgewater, Connecticut, or something. But it used to be that not only did a woman lose her last name, but that she was referred to by the whole name of her husband. That is civil death. The Miss Jane Doe entirely ceases to exist as someone who knew her and didn't stay in touch with her, who does not have any concept of what her new married name is. And then there's the further adding insult to injury of Miss Jane Doe becoming Mrs. John Smith. It's crazy. What Chiron is doing is waking you up to the nature of this scenario, the nature of this problem, and also waking you up to how it has behaved in your life, what choices you've made based on this, and how you personally have attempted to make your personal arrangement to be able to get out of this and to not entirely lose yourself. So the way I'm reading this is a process of losing, finding. And now what Chiron is calling for is a much steadier and dependable approach to the way you think of your existence in the context and in the framework of relationships. So that is happening now. Chiron is there now. And this is a transit that's going to last another solid 5 years, a long-term transit. Chiron spends 9 years in Aries, the longest of any sign that Chiron passes through, which of course is all 12. It's at its very slowest. It's at what's called aphelion, the furthest point from the sun. Chiron is fully functioning as an outer planet, but it maintains that radical individuality of what Chiron is, and that need to stand out. Be gentle on the people around you as you do this, and make sure that there's no, misplaced punishing of others for your particular method of growth or for the way that you have, for whatever reason, by whatever means, been conditioned to be in your relationship. So be aware that this is happening, and it would be fair enough for you to say to people that if this is true for you, that your orientation on relating is changing, and that potentially, as has been true for quite a while, as has been true through much of the decade that is now ending, that you need much more independence within your relationships, but you still need bonding and you still need commitment. And this is often seen as mutually exclusive factors. That does not have to be true. And yet it takes a lot of integrity and a lot of willingness to stand up for yourself to make this happen in a supportive way, but also knowing where your partners are coming from and having a real map of what their expectations are for you. Not easy, right? This requires a lot of real conversation and a profound understanding, and also the cognizance that you are healing something. You know, where there is Chiron, that is where the healing journey goes. Another thing about where the healing journey has gone with Chiron is the relationship of the living to the idea and the experience of death. This has now reached a state of global crisis, where what in effect has happened is that people's unresolved issues around death are being weaponized and used against them. And I have hardly ever seen something so frightening in my entire life as people under the thrall of their own fear of death and not realizing it's not a thing that is outside them, except in as much as some propagandists have figured out how to trigger people, to trigger their fears and to trigger all of their past traumatization, to trigger their what's called in Sanskrit the kleshas, the deepest level of attachments that even the highest yogis and gurus have a difficult time addressing. And I would say that one of the things with Chiron in the eighth house is making sure that you have a conscious relationship with death. There is no growth. There is no path to maturity without a conscious relationship to death. And that means a conscious relationship to change. And that also means a conscious relationship to the inevitability of the passage of time and the laws of time as they exist on Earth, whatever you may be able to do in terms of spiritual intervention as regarding the laws of space and time, to understand the way they, how they are, and what people perceive these laws to bring into be, and to bring the full presence of your mind and also the full presence of your willingness to be a participant and an initiator, especially with Chiron and with Aries, an initiator of your own healing process in this facet of your life. And because it's in the eighth house, it's going to relate to the people to whom you relate sexually. The only place in that I know of in the history of consciousness where sex and death have a productive and fruitful and spiritually grounded relationship is in high tantric practice, not neo-tantra, not the new agey stuff, but actual tantric practice is about the turning toward. It's about turning toward the gateway. It's about turning toward all of your fears, all of your desires, all of your conflict, rather than turning away from it. And I can think of no better assistance in the process of turning toward than Chiron. Remember that Chiron will first give an invitation, and then give another invitation, and then give a nudge, and then another nudge, and then a push, and then it may seem that disaster is ensuing, which it would not have happened had the invitation, the nudge, the push, and the push been answered. Chiron's impeccably patient, but time marches on, and there are actual necessities of growth. During much of the 2010s decade, you had Uranus moving through the eighth house in Aries, and this was most likely merely rebellious and disruptive, rather than being focused and productive in the spirit of Chiron. Chiron delivers that Uranian energy, but it delivers it at a lower voltage and in a more directed way than Uranus does, which can just seem to be like a live wire flailing around in the street after it got blown down by a windstorm, whereas Chiron prefers to operate with a kind of a surgical precision and a focused light of awareness. And I would also add that where Chiron is traveling, whatever Chiron is doing, calls for documentation. Chiron thrives in an environment of documentation. And so if you're going through some deep growth experience of Chiron in the eighth house, if you're confronting some very bottom line fact of life with Chiron in the eighth house, this is the time to document in words and images. If it's better to not say it as if, because it really is an important part of the growth and the learning process. One other thought related to Chiron in the eighth house, as I have said in other readings, there's another point there called Salacia. Salacia is a slow mover, much, much slower mover than Chiron. Salacia has a 272-year orbit. It's a rather unusual point. It's not a Pluto-like Kuiper object. It's not a classical-type Kuiper object. It's in between. And so it's more centaurish. It's doing its own thing. It's got a edgier energy. But the quality of Salacia is sexual maturity. It's not about salaciousness. That's a kind of a misrepresentation of the concept. And there was, for example, absolutely nothing salacious about the goddess nymph figure Salacia, the consort of Neptune. Salacia was quite reserved. She was monogamous and needed to be persuaded by a dolphin to accept that Neptune loved her and wanted to be her consort. And in a similar way as there is no growth without a conscious relationship to death, there is also no growth without a conscious relationship to the process of sexual maturity. Most people experience sexual maturity as shutting down, and they think, well, now I'm sexually mature. I don't do those things I used to do. I don't just, you know, go out and meet someone and have a one-night stand. Therefore, now I'm sexually mature. But there is a lot more to it than that. And part of the process of sexual maturity, as defined by the, or described anyway, by the conjunction of Chiron and Salacia, is the conscious embrace of a healing process around sexuality, something that is more often talked about and less often done, and frankly, a lot easier said than done. Back in a moment. My recording of Intermission Sounds during an event in Columbia County held in November, where about 130 people packed into a room for a revolutionary meeting where we discussed biology and virology. It used to be that that political ideologies were discussed and having protests in the streets and underground movements and overthrowing the government. This was a revolutionary meeting where everyone hung out in a class of about 130 people, had incredible all-day-long sumptuous potluck dinners, and no one was afraid. I did not see a mask the entire day. People socialized as if it was normal to socialize. It was quite an experience after 9 months of all of this constant drilling of fear and paranoia and anxiety about being near people, to suddenly have that that whole false framework completely disappeared, and suddenly everyone is exchanging hugs and handshakes and phone numbers and crowding in around the potluck, and going in the kitchen and getting coffee, and behaving in wholly human ways, not divided by these ideologies and by this technology. One of the highlights of my year, one of the highlights of a very challenging year, meeting Dr. Thomas Cowan, of course, was excellent. Thanking him, and also thanking Andrew Kaufman for his teachings on his basic Bio 101 teachings. He's been teaching Bio 101, and so I would remind you that these things exist, and that you know, given that you have transits to your sixth house, Jupiter and Saturn, that's calling for an expanded view of the concept of wellness and of health, and an expanded view of the concept of community health. So as a Virgo, you have natural inclinations toward wanting to be a healer. That's that is like, you know, the grass is green and dandelions are yellow. And with Aquarius on the sixth, that this naturally extends into a concept of community health, Because health is not just about individuals. We, as we're getting flogged with right now, there is at a very important level of community health, except that it's being presented in ways that are all wrong. And I would encourage you to do the work of these two houses, to do the work of the sixth house in Aquarius, and to do the work of Chiron in the eighth house in Aries. Aries being another curiously public sign, even though it's the sign of individuals and individuality, that you find out for yourself, that you not believe what you are told by people, and that you find out for yourself, in part based on things that were known in 2019, 2018, and long before. I will tell you that there has been very little new that has come out in 2020. Most of what came out of any real meaning in 2020 is what was known long before that. And there is only one way to actually feel good about your health and your well-being, which is to take over and to be in charge and to make sure that you are basically in your role of chairman of the committee of anybody who might have some idea or advice or guidance for you relating to your health. And remembering that most health involves some form of over-treatment and misdiagnosis. Okay, so let's call that the discussion of the eighth house. And speaking of getting accurate information, we must discuss the seventh house, because this is where a lot of action is going on, but where the action is concealed. So the seventh house of Virgo is Pisces. Patrick Walker once wrote humorously in a column, "Scratch Pisces and you'll find a Virgo under their skin." I don't really know if you scratch a Virgo and find a Pisces. I've been testing that for a long time, including in among the many Virgos I know, have known, and have loved and love. But you got a lot of Pisces in your chart now, because Pisces is, first of all, the opposite sign of Virgo in the solar chart and in all forms of astrology. And there is a planet called Neptune in Pisces, Neptune in your seventh house. And this presence of Neptune in the seventh is making it difficult for you to see what is real and what is not, and making it difficult to know who is real and who is not. And it is for this reason that I suggest that you have a diversity of filters, and that you fact check all intuitions. Literally, go to the numbers, go to the letters, go to the words, and find out if this thing that you suspected is true is true. Google everyone and see what comes back. Find out what they've got. Find out who they are. See if you can get a little closer to the reality of who they are. It's the combination of Neptune in the seventh, which has gone on since basically that's the 2010s decade, and that will continue into the 2020s for a while. That is creating the additional condition of fog. And by the way, you know, Chiron spent 7 years in Pisces approximately, and that ended, you know, between the spring of 18 and the spring of 19, leaving you without a utility in this area of your life. Chiron has not gone far. Chiron has gone into Aries and is providing you with the means to scrutinize people, meaning the ability to gather specific information about them. And I suggest that you continue to use this tool to find out who people are. There's another planet moving through Pisces, which is Nessus. The orbit of Nessus is just a bit quicker than the orbit of Neptune, but Nessus is moving. Nessus is at aphelion, close to aphelion, and is moving through Pisces very slowly. And Nessus has a way of upping the game of karma. Now, this is quite challenging at times because it first of all, makes you ever more subject to the threefold law, that what you do to others comes back to you threefold. And additionally, it creates a portal into your life where people bring their own pain, chaos, and mishigas into your life. And so you need very careful filters with people. One of the most productive productive, practical, useful filters you can have is, what is the nature of people's cooperation? When you get past the illusion of who someone presents themselves as being, whoever they might be, whatever their image might be, the way you get through that is by essentially working on the farm, chopping wood and carrying water. You find out if the person is capable of work. You find out if they're capable of commitment. You find out if they're some kind of a prima donna. You find out if they have just sent out a lot of press releases and then believe their own press releases. You find out a whole bunch of stuff when it comes down to work. And though Neptune is mistaken as the ruling planet of Pisces, because Neptune is a much newer influence than Pisces is. Neptune was just discovered in the late 19th century. Jupiter's been around forever. Jupiter is the actual ruler of Pisces. And so what this is saying is, let your relationships start as work relationships in the Aquarian realm. Let your one-on-one relationships start in the context of group relationships, where you can see how people relate to you in the context of a group and how they relate to others in the context of a group. And you can do things like evaluate their propensity toward commitment and truth in the context of other people and watching how they, what they promise and what they deliver in a framework that you are not so emotionally vulnerable. Now, you are one of those people who can be quite subject to emotions and getting hurt like anyone, but there's a special sensitivity with Virgo. And so even, work-related relationships are going to be, they're going to have an emotional feature to them, but work-related, interrelating, particularly in the context of a group, is considerably less vulnerable than one-on-one romantic relating. And so in an ideal state, particularly under the conditions that we're in now, with all kinds of stuff going on, and Neptune in your seventh house, which, by the way, has a way of creating a sense of isolation. And so anyone who kind of shines through that sense of isolation is someone that you're likely to want to open up to. But note that people are aware of your vulnerability and your sensitivity here, and your need for companionship, and the high possibility with a combination of this Neptune transit through your seventh, which can create a sense of isolation, sometimes false, sometimes true, but nonetheless, that is the feeling of Neptune in the seventh, plus this driving need by Chiron to be independent from people and not to be dominated by them, not to lose yourself in them, and therefore, in part, surrendering a whole concept of relationship, waiting for, working for, preferably, another one to take its place, people can feel that you need companionship. And so you need your way of bringing that companionship into your life in a way that for a while minimizes your vulnerability and that puts people through a series of filters. And there's really no more beautiful series of filters than Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius, where you get to do things like figure out if someone is honest. And by the way, I would suggest holding that as the highest of all values. Respect, love, and invite for more the people who can tell you the truth and who tell the truth as a matter of life commitment. It's very important that you that you associate only with honest people, and when you know you're associating with a dishonest person, that you keep them as far from your energy field and your decision-making process and their ability to influence you, your life, or whatever this group life you have may be, and know who they are. Know the honest from the dishonest people. Caution of Neptune, caution of Nessus as well. Small lies, by the way, can be very serious lies. You need people who are just real, straight up with you. Okay, your sign is ruled by Mercury. Let's end with a discussion of Mercury retrograde. We have very few Mercury retrograde is the only interplanet retrogrades that we have in 2021 until we get to the very end of the year when Venus goes retrograde. No need to. Well, let's see. I think that I haven't done much with that yet, but let's see what we've got here. Stations. Venus goes retrograde. Venus goes retrograde. 1 year from now on 12/19/21, it goes retrograde in Capricorn, conjunct Pluto. So this, among other interesting and exciting things, should help put you in contact with your lusty nature and see what you learn from there. And it looks to me like an exploration of the relationship between lust and commitment, and commitment and jealousy, and lust and jealousy, and all of those good things. But let's wrap up with Mercury retrograde. It's all retrograde in the air signs in 2021. So there's a very tidy series of Mercury retrogrades, one beginning in late January, one beginning in May, and one beginning in October. And these are all in the houses that are covered by air signs, first being Aquarius. So you're going to first get a real live-through, walk-through, direct experience of the group dynamic nature, and in particular, the communication patterns in the group dynamic nature. Really important to study and learn everything you can possibly learn from these, these group dynamic patterns in your life. Second, the next retrograde takes place in the spring, and that is going to be in your 10th house. There is something here about learning how to borrow from one set of professional skills and bring things to another set of professional skills. Virgo is the sign that's the most likely to have two entirely distinct careers, and part of the growth and healing process of Virgo is making sure that those two distinctive and seemingly different careers have a correlation, and they fully inform one another. An example of someone who did that is Betty Dodson, who was a first class commercial artist, and then became one of the world's first sort of like folk sex educators. And she used her artwork to do that. She was a Virgo sun, Virgo rising, and other things, other elements in Virgo. By the way, if you're curious about Betty's chart, just go to the Planet Waves FM tab on Planet Waves. Scroll down a little bit, and I did two programs that were devoted to Betty, who was someone who, a Virgo, who worked with the dual career thing and made them into one thing. Someone who didn't do that is Noam Chomsky, who believes that it's possible to be a one of the great linguists of our lifetimes and also one of the best-known political theorists and to see absolutely no relationship between those two things. I would suggest he's a Sagittarius. I would suggest that you go for there is a relationship between and among all that I do using the holistic principle, the synergistic principle, and the biophilic principle, all of which say the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. The whole of what all your talents are is far greater than the sum of the parts. And as you get that going, you're going to find that you are more efficient and have better ideas and are able to bring the entirety of your skill set into every situation that you are in. Okay, one last one is Libra. That takes place in the autumn of 2021. And this is going to be a reevaluation of your financial life. And you can do this all the time, of course. And the important thing about your relationship to money right now is that everything makes sense and add up. That you really be working with the facts and the figures and that you have the right expert help. I can't believe anyone does their own tax return. I know it might be challenging to find someone talented to do it, but it would seem to be worth whatever it costs to file a 1040 in a schedule or two these days. You're going to save more than that in taxes and more than that in potential complications. And you want to get your entire financial life in order. You want to get that really, really together and confront that whole thing in a way that you don't normally want to confront money issues. Really grab that thing and get a grip on it and make sure that the columns in the ledger look good and that you know at all times your plastic from your cash, basically, as Peter Gabriel said. Know what you have going on in debt. Know what you have going on in credit. Know what you have in the way of assets. And know a lot about your financial flow, your throughput. So that's coming up. But you have a powerful outer planet present there called Logos, which is saying, really get the logic of this down. Get the logic of this down and get down to the number and the letter of the law, and you will do quite fine. Okay, so I think I've covered the major points here. Of course, there's always always more to say. I'll have a lot more to say in the Aquarian era reading. I have not written Virgo yet. That's coming up fairly soon. That I'll have that. If you are working with the all of us here, audio readings, please check your sign rising and also check the sign of any intimate partners. Of course, you may share this with them to make sure that, you know, they know what you think they need to know. And if you're one of those people, hello. All right, we'll leave you a little music on the way out. Thank you, and bye for now.